Who's come with a heart of expectation this morning? Who can remember? Who was here last week? Were you all here last week? Bar for some. Who can remember that last Sunday morning, the Lord's presence fell while we were singing that song, God is fighting for us, God is on our side. I will live, I will not die. Do you remember that? And it was during that I felt led that we must have a healing service this morning. So this morning, we're having a healing service. We were singing these words. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. Remember this morning the word, God wants to settle us. If you're facing some kind of traumatic experiencing in your life, God wants to settle you. He doesn't want you to feel like you're in the midst of a raging sea. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Who believes that Jesus is with us this morning?
Amen.
Amen. So we've got the faith. We know He's here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame, He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. He carries our burdens. Not just our burden for healing, our burdens for finances, our burdens for relationships, our lives that are broken and in turmoil. He carries them. He carries our shame, the sin that we've committed in our lives. The enemy wants to rob you of your joy because he wants to tell you you're not good enough. He wants to carry you in shame. But God says you are good enough. And I sent my Son to die for your sins. And you are forgiven. The price has been paid for your sins. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm forgiven. To the person next to you on the other side and say, the price has been paid. Today is the day for us to declare we will not be shaken and we will not be moved. Then we sang these words, I will live, I will not die. And the title of this sermon is, I will live. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed and I am healed in Jesus' name. These words were inspired by two scripture verses. Psalm 118, verse 17, if you've got your Bible. I'd like you to turn there if you've got your Bible because it will build faith as you see it. Psalm 118, verse 17. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. What a statement of faith. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell of the great things that the Lord has done. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And then the second piece of scripture is Romans 8 verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. You see, who believes Jesus is raised from the dead? Who's a believer here this morning? Can I see a show of hands? Do you believe that Christ is in you since you gave your heart to Jesus? The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you and He gives life, He quickens your mortal body. He brings life to your mortal body, but we need to connect that to our faith and be healed in Jesus' name. Now, before I go any further, I bumped into Pauline in the week by accident. I was visiting somebody in hospital, and Pauline was sitting there in the casualty, and I thought, oh my goodness, what's wrong with Pauline? So I went to her, but she was just there with somebody else, and we're grateful for that, Pauline. Pauline is going to share a quick testimony with us, just to bring weight to what these scriptures that we've just read. I don't know where that microphone is. Is it there? Yes, I can see it. I've asked her to try and be as quick as possible because we need to get through the message and pray for our people. Thanks, Pauline, and Lord bless you.
Morning, everybody. Is it on? We all go through trials in our life. And I have a saying
every trial brings a testimony. And the trial that I have just gone through is a testimony that I want to share with you right now. In 2006, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I went through the chemo and all the horrible things, and then was in remission, and after remission, I went for checkup, and I was diagnosed with bone cancer. I went through 8 different types of chemo, and nothing was bringing down the cancer count. I experienced a bowel blockage and ended up in hospital and was very ill and came out very weak. And my children were concerned for me, and they decided to move me to Nelspruit, where my son is. My daughter's in Australia, so that he could be closer to me and take care of me in the retirement village that they put me in. But the retirement village that they put me in, they put me into close to the frail care. And I could hear all the crying, all the screaming. I could see all these very sick people, and it did something to me. I thought, Lord, this is a chance for me to testify and to work with these people. But it became too much for me. I had 4 ladies there that had cancer that I could minister to, and they died. There were 9 people that died in 8 months that I was there. The first thing I did is I thought, Lord, I need to get a church. I got a church, which was amazing. I joined a cell group who were amazing. I got involved in a ministry in the rural areas. And then the oncologist said to me, it's too dangerous because I don't have a resistance to illnesses and germs and things. So I stopped doing that, but I was still involved, you know, with the church and doing things at the church. But I couldn't understand what I was going through, and I was hiding it from my family. But I was crying all the time. I lost my appetite completely. I lost a lot of weight. I didn't want to go outside. I'd wait until the people were inside, and then I would go for a walk. I would lock my door. I didn't want to be involved with anybody. I didn't want to see all these sick people, and I didn't know what was going on with me. And I just realized then that I was having a spiritual battle, and it wasn't easy. But I knew God was with me. There were times when I felt, God, where are you? But I felt his presence at times, but there were times that I didn't. And I know God will never leave you nor forsake you in what you're going through. But he was with me. And then my friends, I was in touch with them, yeah, in Krugersdorp, and they said I must come and visit. And it was hard because I wasn't feeling well. So I came to visit, and they were shocked when they saw me, and even the people in the church. And when I went back, my one friend contacted my daughter in Australia and said, if we don't bring your mother back, she's going to die. She needs to be amongst all her friends and her family here. So I came back. I was back 2 weeks, and then they surprised me with a holiday to go to Australia to visit my daughter. And I was sick even there, but didn't know what was going on with me. And I tried to hide it from them, and eventually I couldn't. And I came back after the holiday, and the friend that I was staying with, she took me to the doctor, and they admitted me into Port View. And they found out that what I'd been going through was depression and anxiety. I'd never experienced depression before, and I sympathize with people that have got it and have had it. But God came through for me and got me on the right medication after quite a long struggle. And I just praise God today that I'm feeling great. The devil has really tried to attack me this week, knowing that I wanted to give this testimony. But I pray that even if this touches one person's heart, it's worth it. I will live. I will not die.
Pauline was very short, and it's my fault, but she went through a really difficult time. We went and prayed with her. The depression is no easy thing. Depression is a horrible thing. I've been through it myself. You'll end up crying. You don't know why. You feel stupid. You feel like, what's wrong with me? But you find many people who face that go through exactly the same symptoms. And you need to realize, if there's people sitting here this morning, that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not. There's nothing wrong with you as a person. You're going through an ailment, a sickness. And that is what's causing the symptoms. And praise the Lord for what He's done with Pauline. I mean, she was on some medication that was doing more harm than good. But by God's grace, it's good to have you with us today, Pauline. So I let her testify to that so that you can see God is able to move. God is able to bring change. God is able to turn situations around. And she still got the cancer? Yes. God dealt with the depression. And we don't always have all the answers. But we never give up. We always keep our eyes on the Lord. Does God, what does the Bible say about healing? Does God want to heal us? Amen. It's an obvious question, hey? But in the Bible, there are contained two healing covenants. You know what a covenant is? It's when two peoples come to an agreement, a very special agreement. Marriage is a covenant. We are under the new covenant, sealed with the blood of Jesus. But there are two healing covenants in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. In Exodus 15:26, we know the scripture very well. It says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." That was God's promise. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. I am the divine physician. I'm the one who will make you well. I am your doctor. You can even put it in layman's terms. I'm your doctor. I'm your healer. And then in James 5:14-15, the second healing covenant, "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven." There it is. This morning we are going to anoint. I'm going to ask the elders, so how many ever people come forward, I'm going to ask us to gather around. We're going to pray from one person to the next. The elders together are going to anoint the people that are in the church. We entrust the Lord to bring healing. It says, "Such a prayer offered in faith will heal." Some Bibles say, will save the sick. I went and looked to that word. In the Greek, it's sozo. Sozo. It's spelled very funny. Is Z something Z? But it means to heal, to make well, to save. Saving as in being born again. So it covers both healing and salvation. Think about it. If God doesn't touch us, if we've got a terminal illness, and if God doesn't heal us, what will happen? We will die. So we are saved from death. God saves us. But that's the two healing covenants in the Bible. And we can stand on those two healing covenants. Many times in the Bible it speaks about healing. Those are the covenants. And God wants to see us heal. Jesus' ministry is further evidence of God's intention regarding sickness. In Luke 4:16-19, it says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written," from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus quoted those, but the three things that are so key in there. He came to preach the gospel. He preached the good news. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news. Then He delivered people. He cast demons out of people. He brought deliverance. And the third thing was, He healed the sick. Our calling, the Great Commission, everything that we do in the church has got to revolve around those three things. Preaching the gospel, delivering the captive, and healing the sick. Everything else revolves around that. That was what Jesus did, and that is what we are called to do. I want you to know that it says here, He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes emotional issues that we face is as bad as a physical ailment. And God wants to heal us from it all. Some more scriptures. Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. You see, when you hate God, when you're not serving God, when you like the Egyptians, when you are in Egypt and of Egypt, as opposed to those who are no longer in Egypt and not of Egypt, then sickness and disease is your portion. But when you're not of Egypt, when you're God's, who's delivered out of Egypt, out of sin, out of the place where the enemy reigns, healing is yours. God's promise is, I will take away from you all sickness. Is God's intention to heal sickness in any way limited, you may ask? Because all of us know that sometimes when we pray for people, they're not healed. Is it limited in any way? Is there a reason? Let's see what the Bible says. Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. What does that say about sickness? Is there any sickness God can't heal? No, because He heals it all. Is there any sin He can't forgive? No, it says He forgives all your iniquities. Not some of them. In Matthew 8:16, it says this. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. And He cast out the spirits with a word. He didn't say He cast out some spirits. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Not some. He healed all of them. And in Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So, number one is Jesus healed all who were sick. He didn't leave any out. And He healed all kinds of sickness and disease. So, is there any limitation? No. But yet some people don't get healed. Jesus went to His hometown, and He could only perform some miracles there. And I was listening to something in preparation for this message this morning, and it was so well explained. It spoke about three things. It spoke about, you know, when there's sin, there's a penalty for sin, there's sin as power, and there's presence of sin. There's three P's, okay? Just picture it that way. Now, if I take the first one, the penalty, did Jesus pay the price, the penalty for our sin? So, can anybody tell you you're sick because you're a sinner? Why? Because Jesus paid the price for your sins. And then, there's the presence of sin. Who knows? Who's born again here? Can I see a show of hands? Can I see a show of hands? And don't be ashamed to lift your hand. Of the born again people who've sinned? Can I see? Since they've been born? Okay. So sin is present. Amen? And we battle with the power of sin. Okay? Because it's constantly, God gives us victory over the power of sin. And we grow. But sometimes, every now and again, something goes wrong and we sin. Am I right? Is it an excuse to sin? No. Okay. So, there's a penalty for sin. There's the power of sin, there's the presence of sin. Now, in the same way, I forgave all your sin and I healed all your diseases. Do you see the link? Whenever God's talking about forgiveness, He's talking about healing. Are you with me? So, if there is a penalty, sin for sickness, put sickness in the place where we had sin just now. Jesus has paid, He bore upon His body the price for our sins, didn't He? He also bore our sicknesses in His body, didn't He? On the cross, He paid for it all. Okay? So, Jesus paid for it. So, if I'm sick, Jesus has paid for me to be healed. Right? Is there presence of sickness? Yes, there's people here today that are sick. There's presence. Is there power of sickness? Yes, there's power of sickness. So, sometimes people don't get healed. I want to ask you, if you're born again and you still sin, does that mean you're not born again? So, if you're sick and you get hands laid on you, does that power still sometimes exist? Does the sickness sometimes remain in your body? Yes, it does. Does it mean that it hasn't been paid for? No. Does it mean that there's not a presence in the future where we're going to be with the Lord, that all sickness and all pain and all suffering is gone? No. It's going to be gone. But sometimes that power of sickness remains behind. For whatever reason. We don't know. Sometimes it remains behind. So sometimes if you've been prayed for and you haven't been healed, it doesn't mean you're a sinner and hopeless and God doesn't love you. It just means that the power of sickness and the power of sin still is present in the world. And sometimes we have to deal with it. Does that make sense? All right. Are you with me? Okay. I must move. And then there's some misconceptions, like God chooses who He will heal. But that blames God if you're not healed. Or some people say, but you don't have enough faith to be healed. That blames a person that's not healed for not being healed. But it's a lie. Because where does blame come from? Where does accusation come from? The devil. The devil. So we can't accuse people who are not healed because they don't have enough faith, or because they're a sinner, or because God has chosen not to heal them. And then there's a third lie about healing, and that is that God doesn't heal today. You know, it was for them back then. It was then for the Old Testament and for the New Church, but it doesn't exist anymore. So I want to ask you, salvation, was it good enough for them in for the New Church? But when God said, Jesus died on the cross for our sins and to heal us, Did something come across that said, okay, the healing has been pushed aside, only salvation remains? So if salvation is still for us today, how can healing not be for us today? Because if you believe healing is not for us today, then I want to tell you, then you don't have salvation. Does that make sense? Amen. So salvation is for us today, and so is healing. And my Bible teaches me in Hebrews 13, verse 8, and I know your Bible will teach you the same, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So if He healed sicknesses then, He will heal them now. Then I just want to build some faith for you. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53 verse 45. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. You see, here that's present tense. We are healed. So as He gave His life for us to be saved from our sin, as we've been born again, we take that same faith that we applied to be born again, and we apply it to our need to be healed. Can you trust God for your healing this morning? Just the way you trusted God to be born again. So in summary, and I've preached a very short message this morning because I want to get to praying for our people. God wants to. It's His desire. He doesn't not want to heal you. He wants to heal you, both physically and emotionally. Jesus paid in full on the cross for both our sins and our sicknesses. We can't accept only the one half of that. We've got to accept the whole statement. If you're saved, you can be healed. There is no one and no sickness that are excluded from God's ability or desire to heal. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Say, I'm not excluded. Do you believe that? What happens if we don't receive our healing today? If we pray for somebody here this morning and they don't receive their healing, what happens? What must we do? I'll tell you what you must do. You must not give up. Amen. Jesus prayed for the one blind man, and he said, I see men as trees. Naaman had to go and get in the Jordan River 7 times. Elijah, after calling fire down from heaven, and the sacrifice was consumed, he went to the top of a hill, and he started to pray for God to send rain. He prayed, he sent his servant out. He said, do you see cloud? He said, no. He prayed, he sent his servant out. He sent him out to look for cloud. There was nothing. 7 times. On the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud, small cloud, the size of man's hand. He said, you better go and run. Amen. Sometimes we need to persevere. Sometimes we need to push through to the victory. Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord for healing. But we never give up. We never turn our backs on God, because He hasn't turned His back on us. We love Him in our circumstances. We show Him that we don't love Him because of what He can do for us. We love Him because He loved us first. Amen. But we remain in love with the Lord Jesus, even regardless of whether we're not feeling well. And we will get victory. We will be able to praise God in our circumstances. And you know what that'll do? It'll be a fantastic testimony of your life to the people that surround you. Amen. So, very short message on healing. I want to speak to you about a few more things. Emotional healing. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, Isaiah 61. We don't need to learn to cope with our emotional problems. We need to be healed from them. Hurts cause bondage. And bondage will result in us trying to control circumstances and to control people. You know, when you've been hurt, you try and control a circumstance. And you change towards people. And then, you know what that does? People see you trying to control. And it hurts them. And it results in more hurt. And then they reject you, and then you feel hurt, and it just becomes a big cycle. God wants to break that this morning. God wants to break that. So He doesn't just want to heal those with physical ailments. He wants to heal those that are emotionally hurting as well. So having said that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask those that are going to pray with us to come forward, the leadership. Dave and Shirley, will you also come, please? Frank and Lorraine will also come. And then, but I want us, depending on how many people come forward, we will pray for people as a group. So we'll go and we'll surround the people and pray for them one by one. So let's all stand, church. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Our Father, this morning we thank You for what You're busy doing. You called us last week. You showed us that we will live, we will not die. You showed us that Your resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us. Lord, this morning You've showed us that nobody is excluded. If we call on Your name, we will be saved. If we call on Your name, we will be healed. Lord, You've showed us that there's no sickness and no disease that is excluded from Your power or Your ability to heal. It's for all of us and for every sickness and disease. You've showed us this morning that it's not just about our physical ailments, but You've come to heal the brokenhearted. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand this morning as a people who need a touch from You. There's many here this morning that need healing. I personally need healing. And we want to ask that You will move on behalf of Your people today. Holy Spirit, will You allow Your anointing, Your power and Your grace to flow here this morning as we come and seek Your face and trust You for healing. We know it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit. We know that in us as human beings is no ability to heal, but in us is the Spirit of the living God, for whom nothing is impossible. So we can see people healed here this morning. We ask for it. Release Your healing anointing in this congregation today, in Jesus' name. Amen.